live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, it's the main evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, the state takeover of private hospitals for the COVID-19 outbreak will not be extended. The government will seek a new deal which would allow access if necessary in the future. The general manager of Letterkenny University Hospital says the downward trend in COVID-19 cases is encouraging but warned against complacency. Details have been released on plans to reopen childcare facilities across the country. The children's minister says it's not clear at the moment how many facilities will be able to open over the summer. And the funding and advocacy manager at Peterhouse gives assurances that the facility in Donegal will not be closing. It ends weeks of speculation. And later in the bulletin, we'll have the sports news with Chris Ashmore. That's coming up around 5:15. Also in today's bulletin, it being a Friday, of course, we'll have Nook, the Colm Farrell. That's coming up later on. But we begin with the confirmation from Taoiseach Leo Varadkar this afternoon that the state takeover of private hospitals will not be extended. The government will instead seek a new deal that would allow access to private hospitals for some non-COVID-related services or if a second wave hits. The Taoiseach believes the decision to take control of private hospitals at the time was justified.
We wanted to make sure that we had adequate ICU capacity, adequate critical care capacity and adequate bed capacity so we wouldn't see the scenes that we saw in other countries where hospitals became overwhelmed. Thankfully, we never got to that point because we as a society successfully managed to suppress the virus through our actions as a nation, and we didn't need to use the private hospitals to the extent that we thought we might. We very much stand over the decision to take control of the private hospitals back in March.
Well, the state takeover of private hospitals not being extended there as confirmed by the Taoiseach. The general manager of Letterkenny University Hospital saying today the downward trend in COVID-19 cases at the hospital is encouraging but warning against complacency. Latest HSE figures show two patients with suspected COVID-19 admitted to ICU in Letterkenny in the past 24 hours. The number of confirmed cases has fallen to five. There are 19 patients with suspected COVID-19 symptoms currently being treated. The general manager, Sean Murphy, says the plan is to get that number reduced further.
Nevertheless, we need to continue to make sure that we are taking all necessary precautions as patients present at the hospital, and we are continuing with our streaming and segregation of patients with COVID-like symptoms from other patients to ensure patient safety is maintained throughout. But it is a very welcome trend. Obviously, the hospital is getting busier throughout in terms of non-COVID work as well, and I mentioned that last week, and we're continuing to see that trend continue. We're reinstating services.
Well, details have been released this afternoon on the plans to reopen childcare facilities across the country. Play pods form a central part of the advice to service providers intending to reopen at the end of next month. The Children's Minister, Catherine Zappone, says it's not yet clear how many will be able to open during the summer.
It's not possible to say how many childcare services will reopen in July and August, and so therefore what the capacity is. Many of them are usually closed during those summer months. But childcare providers asked that I would publish the public health guidance 4 weeks in advance of opening so that they could get ready.
People on maternity and paternity leave will be able to access the wage subsidy scheme. An anomaly in the legislation meant they were excluded from receiving the payment. Finance Minister Pascal Donoghue says it will be legislated for later in the year.
We're recognising the very unique circumstances of those who are returning to work after a period of maternity or adoptive leave, and we are doing this crucially by allowing equal treatment with other participants on the wage subsidy scheme.
And the Finance Minister also confirmed today that most public sector workers have been on the front line during the COVID-19 crisis, and they will be getting their planned pay rise in October. There is a clause in the pay restoration deal which says the agreement could be revised if there were to be adverse adjustments to economic circumstances. But the Minister says the pay rise will go ahead despite the current circumstances because he believes they deserve it. The funding and advocacy manager at Peterhouse has given reassurances that the facility in the Northwest will not be closing. It ends weeks of speculation over the future of Peterhouse Northwest, with reports of staff put on notice and appointments not being scheduled beyond June. However, Tom McAvoy on the 9 till noon show today stated the facility will remain open, with services to be maintained and improved in Donegal.
The service will be maintained. Greg, I want to reassure the public, okay, that the service will be maintained. It will be an improved service. It'll be, you know, we will have much, you know, stronger, probably, you know, therapy and or maybe guarantee of sessional hours and so on. So I suppose what I'm asking is we want to first of all say that we are sorry that there was confusion out there in the public. We're really, you know, asking for people to bear with us during this time. You know, we were thrown into a bit of a, you know, I suppose we were thrown into something very challenging during this period. Things were going well up to that point, and you know, we're asking people to continue supporting us, because they're not supporting PIESA as the organisation. They're supporting the individuals who live in your community who are reaching out to us.
More than half of the residents from a Donegal nursing home have died from COVID-19, the highest percentage of deaths in any nursing home nationwide. The Rock and Ballyshannon was closed a month ago following a suspected outbreak at the HSE-run facility. Its 19 residents were moved to a nearby nursing home. Figures released yesterday show that 10 of the residents have since lost their lives to COVID-19. Donegal Deputy Piers Doherty requested a report on this earlier in the week and was told that information wasn't available. He says the HSE has serious questions to answer.
We've already wrote yesterday to the chairperson of the COVID-19 committee. There's a private session this morning in relation to that committee, and we are asking that now that the schedule that we had, which was supposed to be dealing with the private hospitals next week, that's changed, that we bring the senior officials from the HSC and from the Department of Health in before us and get them to answer the real questions now. And we need to get to the bottom of this here.
A Donegal councillor has given a guarded welcome to the Stability Fund for Irish Summer Colleges. €4.7 million was confirmed at the government last evening, but it's understood that Munatees will only see a fraction of this, €4 per night per student, for which they were meant to accommodate this summer. There's major ongoing concern for the livelihoods of hundreds of homes in the Donegal Gaeltacht who rely heavily on the income from summer colleges each year. Councillor Noreen McGarvey says while the fund will go some way towards subsidising lost income, a lot more is needed for others affected.
A lot of small shops and restaurants in particular, they heavily depend on, be it the 3 months of the summer when the Irish students are in the area, and like the local transport companies and all of those. So I certainly would be asking the department to reconsider, and the minister, to firstly to maybe increase the amount of money to the Banatees and to help them offset any losses, and to consider the other sector as well, like for the wider community, you know, who do benefit quite a lot.
Do you think there is hope, though, that maybe this is just an initial announcement, that maybe we will see more funding for the Gaeltacht sector in the coming months ahead? We do know that there was a lot of concern locally, and a lot of local politicians, including yourself, beating that drum for them.
And well, hopefully, Calvin, they may see kind of not so much the error of their ways, but maybe see that they could increase this. And as I said, like while 4.0 million sounds good, that only 1.6 is actually directly coming towards the Banatees. But certainly we would have to look at maybe bringing in some kind of small measure itself to offer to the other providers in that sector. While it's great that obviously that they're trying to do as much as they can to enrich the Irish language and everything, we do appreciate that in the Gaeltacht areas here. But we would have to look at some of the smaller companies and shops that really do depend on the income during the summer months.
Councillor Noreen McGarvey. Staying in the Gaeltacht, and Dendone National School has been given funding to build a long-awaited preschool on site. A total of €185,000 has been awarded by the Department of the Gaeltacht, 95% of the money needed to complete the project. It's part of an overall language plan for the Gaeltacht area. Education Minister Joe McHugh says it's positive news for the school.
It is an endorsement of the great work that's gone on at a local level there in building together a language plan, and I know the likes of Tres McMonigan, the principal of Meenalab and Glendone National School, has been to the forefront, and I know going back a number of years ago, people like the late Ellen McDermott was very, very much part of that momentum in the beginning. So it's been a combination of great work over the years, and now this is going to be realised, where a meanery, a preschool for the people of the area where there is no facility at present, will be just a great, great strengthening of the local community links, but also the language drive and the language momentum that's in the area as well. So I'm delighted for everybody, and I'm delighted, and I'm grateful for the work that Sean Cowan, my colleague, has put into this as well, and working closely with me on it.
Minister Joe McHugh there. Police in Derry have renewed an appeal for information regarding a fatal road collision in the city a year ago next Monday. The incident happened on Fairview Road in the city, with police stressing this is very much a live investigation. With more, here's Catherine Gaffney.
In the early hours of Saturday, June the 1st, 2019, the body of 18-year-old Queevan Cassidy was found inside a burnt red Mazda 6 which had crashed on the Fairview Road. Police have confirmed that initially it was believed that the car had caught fire as a result of the collision. However, the results from the post-mortem examination subsequently confirmed that Queevan was not seriously injured as a result of a crash and was most likely still alive when the blaze started. They believe that Queevan was not travelling alone in the vehicle. Police are urging anyone with information about Queevan Cassidy's movements or those of the red Mazda 6 on the evening of Friday the 31st of May to get in touch either via Strandrow Police Station or their Crime Stopper service. They say any detail, no matter how small it might seem, could be invaluable.
A Lifford councillor says people in the Ballandrate area are losing patience after another burst on the Tober water supply line yesterday. Councillor Gerry Crawford says it's the third time in 4 weeks the pipe has burst there. And while Irish Water have included the line in its latest contract to repair and replace problematic pipes, there's no indication as to when this work will be done. He says it's time Irish Water told the local community what's happening.
This affects the whole line when this happens, and it's not as if it just happens now and again, it happens regularly. But for the efforts of the water services of Donegal County Council, the situation would be dire. With the COVID restrictions and all the different necessity for water at the present time adds to the difficulties that the people are experiencing. Now, we understand the contractor was appointed for the overall pipe replacement project, and that Tober was included in that. But despite many efforts that I have made through Irish Water to ask them to when they may be beginning work here, despite the hardships that they too are experiencing with the restrictions, a reply isn't forthcoming, and I think the people of the area deserve better than that.
This is the main evening news on Highland Radio. It's 14 minutes past 5 o'clock. Time for sports news. We say good evening to Chris Ashmore.
Thanks, Donal. And we start with Gaelic Games. And the All-Stars team of the Sunday Game era has been named this afternoon. RTE asked viewers to make their selections for the best 15 Gaelic footballers over the four decades of the iconic programme. Michael Murphy is the only Donegal player in the 15, while eight Kerry players are named. The team is Stephen Cluxton of Dublin, the full-back line of Mark O'Shea, Seamus Moynihan and Paddy O'Shea, all from Kerry. Half-back line, Tomás O'Shea of Kerry, Lee Keegan of Mayo and Jack McCaffrey of Dublin. In the middle of the park, Brian Fenton of Dublin and Jack O'Shea of Kerry, with a half-forward line of Peter Canavan of Tyrone, Dublin's Dermot Connolly and Kerry legend Pat Spillane. And the full forward line made up of Colm Cooper of Kerry, Michael Murphy of Donegal and Maurice Fitzgerald of Kerry. Interestingly, after all the votes were counted, no players from Cork, Meath, Armagh or Galway making that final 15. No doubt there'll be a little bit of debate about that. Staying with Gaelic Games, the GAA has issued a statement this afternoon in relation to the government's roadmap relating to the relaxation of COVID-19 restrictions. Should the country move to phase two as planned, GAA clubs will be able to reopen designated walking tracks on June the 8th, subject to engagement with Croke Park around a facilities management plan. A spokesman said that the association does not envisage a return to training in small groups in phase two, and pitches and playing areas are to remain closed. However, as per the government roadmap, this may be reviewed in phase three. Meanwhile, former Down star Mickey Linden believes there is a good chance that he contracted coronavirus during a ski trip in March, it has emerged. The two-time All-Ireland winner returned home on the 14th of March and went into self-isolation after one of his travel companions tested positive for the virus. In an interview for BBC Sports My Greatest Game series, Linden said he had not been tested. He later had symptoms that did not require hospital treatment, and he was advised to stay at home without being tested. On to soccer, Donegal's Amber Barrett was back in action this afternoon as she lined out for FC Cologne in the Women's Bundesliga in Germany after an 89-day break due to the coronavirus pandemic. Professional women's soccer returned to Germany, but her side were beaten 4-0 by league leaders Wolfsburg, and Barrett, who had looked lively during the game, was sent off for a late tackle in the 76th minute. Cross channel, Liverpool are likely to seal the Premier League title at a neutral venue. Police in the UK have requested that the Merseyside derby against Everton on the week of the league's resumption next month to be moved outside of the city, and they also want any game where Jurgen Klopp's side can win the competition to be at a neutral ground. Well, Liverpool legend Jamie Carragher says that some of their fans will be disappointed.
I think Liverpool fans may find it difficult that they're almost not being trusted more than maybe other supporters at other clubs if their games are at home. But I think Liverpool supporters right now will just be more pleased than anything that the season looks like it's going ahead.
Leicester City manager Brendan Rodgers has revealed that he contracted COVID-19 in March. The former Celtic and Liverpool boss says he really struggled with the virus and could barely walk. He added that he and his wife have since made a full recovery. And further afield, La Liga president Javier Chabas has confirmed that Spanish top-flight matches will get back underway on June the 11th. The Seville derby between Sevilla and Real Betis is set to be the first game after the three-month shutdown. In rugby, Ireland international Ní Adeoke Lucullen will leave Connacht when his contract expires next month. Fellow Pro 12 winner Owen McKeown will also depart the province after making over 100 appearances since joining in 2010. And hooker Tom McCartney has announced his retirement and is returning to New Zealand after six seasons in Galway. In racing, the first National Hunt card in Ireland since the lockdown will take place at Limerick on June the 22nd. Kilbeggan will have a meeting on June the 29th with Tramore, Killarney and Downpatrick hosting fixtures in July. And Horse Racing Ireland have confirmed that the Galway Plate and Galway Hurdle will be retained in the festival at Ballybrit. In motorsport, Renault has reaffirmed its commitment to Formula One despite announcing that almost 15,000 jobs will be shed at the company. The cuts are part of a cost-saving package over the next 3 years. However, the measures will not include a withdrawal from motorsport. And the Olympic Federation of Ireland is calling for exemptions to the current COVID-19 restrictions so that athletes can be assisted in the build-up to the next Olympics. It has pointed out that because of the 5K travel limit in the Republic, some athletes on the other side of the border have different advantages, and they say that this is a problem and a concern, and they want some easing of the restrictions. And finally, as we head into the bank holiday weekend, it's going to be a busy few days for various sporting clubs around the county who are raising money for charities, among them Carndonagh GAA Club, who have a challenge to get people to do in total 5,000 kilometres in just 24 hours this Sunday. They're asking people across Inishowen to walk or run a few kilometres in aid of Motor Neuron Disease Ireland and WorkLink Northwest. And Termon GAA Club is hosting a 24-hour relay from the Burn Road pitch to Doonwell starting at 7 o'clock on Sunday. Monies raised will go to the Donegal Hospice and Pieta House. Information on both events available on the social media pages of those clubs. Indeed, the best of luck to anybody taking part in charity events this coming weekend across the Northwest. And that, Donal, is your evening sport.
Thanks very much indeed, Chris. Retail sales have seen their sharpest drop since 2009. Sales in April were down 35% on March figures, according to the CSO. Online sales represented 15.5% of the total turnover for all businesses. That's the highest online share since records began. The only rise was recorded in the food, beverages and tobacco sector. It increased by just under 2%. Economist Alan McQuaid says it will take a long time for the retail sector to recover.
No great surprise, given the extent of the lockdown, but they make for very bleak and depressing reading. I mean, effectively all sectors suffered record falls in the month, like massive falls, only helped to some degree by online sales, but effectively all sectors were really badly hit, with the exception of the food stores and supermarkets, which posted increases.
And Donegal TD says the Irish government needs to take an interest in the archaeological dig currently taking place at Valladolid in Spain, at a site which may be the final resting place of Reggie O'Donnell. He died there in 1602. A quantity of skeletal remains has been uncovered, with no confirmation as of yet that some of them belong to Reggie O'Donnell. Deputy Padraig McLaughlin says if that proves to be the case, the Foreign Affairs Minister should make contact with the Spanish government to offer assistance to the City Council and the team undertaking the works.
I have submitted some questions to the Minister for Foreign Affairs inquiring, has he offered assistance on behalf of the Irish government, and B, would he inquire, in terms of this issue of if they can identify the remains of Reggie O'Donnell, obviously confirm them through DNA testing, could we return those remains back to Donegal? Like, Reggie O'Donnell is a legendary figure in Irish history, a legendary Irish chieftain who we are very proud of in our history. And obviously, like the Flight of the Earls, he was forced to go abroad for sanctuary, but also to try to continue to free Ireland from British rule all of those years ago. So this is of huge historical importance to the Irish people and to the people of Donegal, and everything should be done to assist the Spanish authorities in this goal and this very honourable objective.
Would you like to see Donegal County Council, a Culture and Heritage Division, possibly Donegal County Museum directly take a role in this as well?
Indeed. I mean, I think first and foremost it will be down to the Minister for Foreign Affairs and Trade and his departments to, establish relations with the Spanish authorities. But definitely there would be a fundamental role for Donegal County Council and its heritage department. And I'm sure they'd be very excited about this.
Deputy Patrick McLaughlin, agus an ish an nocht a leibh ag Colm Ferriter.
Tá fógra déanta go bhfuil ceiste Bart Eigendalla ar fiú 4.7 milliún euro. Cadaithe chun tacú le hainneal na gálaistí saoirí Gaeilge sa Gaeltacht, tá an tionscnamh co-sáithe a féimniú chun iarmhairteanacht leanúna na hainneala a ceantú agus de réir legan don airneal leanúin te ré, agus chun cur leis an iarracht tacú leis an Gaeilge agus leis na réidiún Gaeltacht. Fuin ceiste chósaithe chuir tacaíocht ar fiú 3.1 milliún é dro údaras na gálaistí le chur ar a gomas talí ás íoc le tuismitheoirí, agus chuirthar 1.6 milliún euro ar fáil of contacú leis an seart géad teile Gaeltachta in cailíthe a chur an láistín deimhnithe ar fáil dífa a freastalan ar cheondan na ceafras a dá chálaiste saoirí Gaeilge sa Gaeltacht a bhfuil aithantas acu fuin scéim. Tá fáil sé curtha ag Conor na Gaeilge roimh an ceiste chuitseamh fógartha do na cáilistí saoirí, agus dúirt Níl Comer uachtar an Conor na Gaeilge go bhfuil na cáilistí saoirí riachtana, má tá seansa bí le bheith ag an Gaeltacht agus tá siad riachtana fásta chun más a chathú a measc fólamóirí ar an teanga. Tá fógart déanta ag údaras na Gaeltachta go bhfuil sraidh cairdlana chun a bheith curtha ar fáil sa Gaeltacht chun codú le hainneal na tarasóireachta. Is léir go bhfuil eisbéirish curtaíochta breise arbert an lehé tionnachar na géir céim a COVID a níéige ar an airneal, agus maidir an airneal sa Gaeltacht a bhéalú. Maidir leis an ráitis atá le feicil ina omlainne ar thíomh an údaris, bé tábhacht faoi leith ag baint le tacaíochtaí don airneal na turasóireachta céile don tóichí agus eisbéirish curtaíochta a chlánú. Agus tá ceiliú ar cruthaíocht agus ar an teanga le linn cruinniú na nóg ar siúil ar a Sathrann an 3 do mí meitheamh i mbliana, bé an Gaeilge teanga an Gaeilge ag crí lár an ceiliú i mbliana le himeachtaí Gaeilge ar siúil ar fod na tíre, bé imeachtaí ag díirú ar ga ísgrúpa agus leibhéil chumas, chluthaí a chódú, eitlógaí a dhéanamh, dása a ólam, scéaltaí a scríobh eilig san arbh, de bhhar na sríonta sláinte poblaí atá i bhfeidhm i láthair na huara, tá cláir éire Eldanach agus Cofhartiha and Clar, Giri Gome Lani agus Dini Yoga, Abota Doling Lek, Lesh na Hamakti Kruhi Yaktaha, and the Jahi agus and the Gargin Hin, agus to tell you eg Siv Naranya Geltakta agus Geliga. Shin Mahodsa Eligolier Slan agus Barakt.
Agus and Ish on I'm sure it'll be dry with some clear spells tonight, mild with lowest temperatures 10 to 12 degrees Celsius, light to moderate southeasterly breezes. Tomorrow, Saturday, dry, warm, with plenty of sunshine. The sunshine hazy at times as a result of high cloud. Highest temperatures 23 to 25 degrees Celsius. And that's Highland Radio News for now. Taking a closing look at the headlines. The state takeover of private hospitals for the COVID-19 outbreak will not be extended. The Taoiseach confirmed at a press conference this afternoon. The government will instead seek a new deal that would allow access to private hospitals for some non-COVID-related services or if a second wave hits. Meanwhile, the general manager of Letterkenny University Hospital has confirmed a downward trend in COVID-19 cases at the hospital. Sean Murphy says it's encouraging, but people should not be complacent. Details have been released on the plans to reopen childcare facilities across the country. Play pods form a central part of the government's advice to service providers intending to reopen at the end of June. Minister Catherine Zappone says it's not clear how many will be able to open in the summer. And people on maternity and paternity leave will be able to access the wage subsidy scheme. An anomaly in the legislation meant they were excluded initially. Next news is at 6. Good evening.
The obituary notices for this Friday evening, the 29th of May. The death has taken place at her residence of Margaret McLaughlin, Blackmore, Tuer, Muff. In accordance with HSE and government guidelines, the wake, funeral and burial are strictly private to family only, please. Funeral Mass on Sunday morning at 11 in St Patrick's Church, Ishkeheen, can be viewed on mcnmedia.tv/camera/St Patrick's Church, Ishkeheen. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu to the Irish Cancer Society, care of any family member or Murphy Funeral Directors. The death has taken place of Nellie McShane, Nae McCauley, 3 Bowling Green, Strabane, and formerly of Carrickadawson, Raphoe. Funeral from her home tomorrow at 5:30 to the Church of the Immaculate Conception, Strabane. Funeral Mass on Sunday at 12 noon with interment in Strabane Cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to the Church of the Immaculate Conception Restoration Fund, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. In accordance with current restrictions regarding coronavirus, the house and funeral are private to immediate family only, please. The funeral mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam on Sunday at 12 noon on mcnmedia.tv/camera/Church of the Immaculate Conception, Strabane. The death has taken place of Rosemary McCallion, Nae McCauley, Drung, Quigley's Point. In compliance with HSE and government guidelines, the wake, funeral and burial are strictly private to family only, please. Funeral Mass on Sunday at 2 o'clock in St. Columba's Church, Drung, Quigley's Point. The death has taken place of Sheila Harkin, Maher Moore, Carandunna. In accordance with HSE and government guidelines, the wake, funeral and burial are strictly private to family only, please. Funeral can be viewed live on Carn Mass Live, Church of the Sacred Heart, Carandunna, on Sunday morning at 11. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The death has taken place of Theresa Meehan, 33 Manor Court, Convoy. In compliance with HSE and government guidelines, the wake, funeral and burial are strictly private to family only, please. The death has occurred of Seamus McKelvey, Carrick-na-Mana, Killigordon. In compliance with current HSC and government guidelines, the wake, funeral and burial are strictly private to immediate family only, please. Funeral Mass can be viewed live on the St Patrick's Church Crossroads Killigordon Facebook page on Sunday afternoon at 1 o'clock, with interment in the adjoining churchyard. And the death has taken place of Lawrence Larry Kelly, 15 Glen Road, Strabane, formerly of Mullinery, Crossroads Killigordon. Funeral from his home tomorrow morning at 11:30 for Requiem Mass in the Church of the Immaculate Conception, Strabane at 12 noon, followed by interment in Sacred Heart Cemetery, Derry Road. In line with guidelines, the wake, funeral and burial are strictly private to family only, please. Donations in lieu of flowers to Marie Curie, care of Quigley Funeral Directors.